Yeah. Before I give you the evening message, and it will be a kiss sermon, keep it short, sweetie, or keep it short, stupid, whichever one you want to pick, but I'll give you what the Lord, I want to give you a praise. And before I do that, as I always say, and I say it because I believe it, I've said it for 40 years, God is good. You can do better. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I hope you'll keep that in your mind. But there was a lady that I led to the Lord back in 1980. She had three daughters. They all went through a Christian school. They all graduated. I married them all. But anyway, her husband is probably one of the finest men you'll want to meet. He worked 10 hours on a day like this, come in, eat supper, then somebody would need him, and he'd always go out. But in December, we went out to supper with him, late December. In early January, he got pneumonia, and so they put him in Roanoke Memorial. Shortly after that, he got COVID, and he had told his family, if I get COVID, I'm not going to live. And he was in five institutions. Roanoke Memorial gave up on him. They sent him to Greensboro. Greensboro said, we can do no more for him. Brought him back to Pleasant Ridge Retirement Home, nursing home. They kept him for 2 weeks, sent him to the VA. And then he went to, Franklin Healthcare. Now, I say all this to say this. He was in the hospital 7 months and 13 days. Tuesday, he went home. Somebody say praise God. He knows it was the Lord that did what God did. And I just want, God can do anything if we'll just get out of the way and let him do it. And so I hope you'll praise the Lord tonight. His name's Frank Young, been a dear friend, one of the original workers of Lighthouse. He helped us. He is a carpenter by trade. We built most of the buildings there. I think there was the last count when I left, about 12,000 square feet of buildings. And God just blessed in so many different ways there. And Frank was one of the stabilizing forces in the church. He'd never say too much till he got to know you. Then you couldn't shut him up. But Frank Young is a fine man. And when they took him home Tuesday about noon from the nursing home, his entire family, eight living siblings, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, you name it, they all lined the driveway as he came in. Frank is not an emotional man, but he said, I cried from the time I got in the driveway till I got into the house. So, you know, his family loves him. They prayed for him. They visited through the windows. Many of us have done. But don't be so much worried about COVID. God will take care of you. You know, I've watched Christians through all this. They're wringing their hands. What are we going to do? Well, I say this to you. God's still in control. He hasn't been dethroned. God knows exactly what's going on. Perhaps the Lord had to bring this to wake up the American church. We suddenly found out that what we had 19 months ago, some of those freedoms we will never get back. I talked to this young man here on the front row this morning. I found out he was United States Marines. He can't help that. We guys in the Army were always cleaning up their messes. No. You know, I think I can outrun you. But those Marines were tough to deal with.
You're outnumbered.
Oh, there's another Marine. Anybody in here in the Army? Bless your hearts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. So you Marines take that. Don't mess with us.
You're still
outnumbered. I'm still. Oh, have I heard that one before. But, you know, by the way, let's just do this. We've got just a few extra minutes tonight. If you served, would you mind standing? I know, wartime or peacetime, you served the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you for your service. If you'll notice on the back of my F-150, that blue pickup sitting out there, I had a sign made up. It didn't cost me a fortune, and I believe in it. It says, we the people. We need to remember, it's not we the Congress. It's we the people that own this country. Amen. It's the people's house, not Pelosi's house. And we need to understand that. and I got a kneeling soldier and a cross to remind people. 99.9% of the comments that I've had on that have been positive. I've had people pull up and blow their big air horns on tractor and chairless and give me the thumbs up sign, and I know what they're doing. But I America's in trouble, real trouble. But it's still America, it's still my country. And I tell people who demonstrate, and I know a few of them, if you don't like it, try Russia out. Try China out. See how far you get with those folks. But anyway, I want you to go back to the book of John tonight, and I do hope as you go to the Lord in prayer, and it's been said many times, and I know it's a great comfort for Daniel and Sherry to know that you're praying for them. I thought they were in the Fairfax area, but they're in Warrenton. And I used to go through Warrenton all the time. I just told somebody here, how many of you knew there was a famous singer from Warrenton? Anybody know who it was? How many of you ever heard of Roy Clark? Yes. Picking it, he could play anything with his toes. He was a talented man. He was from Warrenton. And my wife and I live just outside of Warrenton. It's not that hard to find if you decide to go to the funeral. What you need to do is go and then get lost and call Pastor Boone and say, come get me. He'll enjoy that. But anyway, in John chapter 6 tonight, we'll look at verses 9 through 12, and the message will be brief. I'm going to give you what the Lord said, then I'm going to sit down. As is my custom, if you are able, would you mind standing for the opening reading of God's Word? John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 9. I know you know these verses. There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place so that men sat down in number about 5,000. If you hold your place there and think, back in, I believe it's Matthew, it said it was 5,000 besides women and children. So most say it's probably between 10,000 and 15,000 people. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would, or all they wanted. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Well, Father in heaven, we do thank you. God, I thank you that you are good. Even in the difficult times, you're still the good and the great God. You're our Savior, and we thank you, Lord, for loving us. In spite of how we treat each other and how we treat you, you still love us, and we thank you for that. Pray tonight, Lord, you open the minds and the ears of these good folks, and Lord, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Just a extra point, I think I said this morning, and I made so many, Nan and I made so many friends at Valley View. We don't like your preacher, but we like you. Is that being recorded? Erase that portion because Boone will call me. But I remember when he started pastoring here, I had called, I don't remember who it was, had called me and wanted to know if I was interested in Valley View Baptist Church. Aren't you glad I didn't become your pastor? Thank you, Stanley. And aren't you glad that Daniel Boone is your pastor? Amen. The man that God wanted here is the man that God put here. And so, but anyway, in 3 weeks, 3 weeks from today, and I hope Nan is with me, is that we return on the 15th of August while Pastor Boone is in Abington preaching revival. And then we come back. When is your homecoming in October the 3rd? 3rd of October, and we look, that will definitely be a brief message, okay? Because when the chicken is wafting out, everybody wants to eat. So I'm looking forward to the next few months and being and getting reacquainted with you folks. But John says there was a lad. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Something very interesting here. It doesn't say it, but I believe it happened. That this young lad was the only one that showed up with his lunch. 5,000 men and no food. Now, when it says barley loaves, it wasn't talking about them big yeast loaves that some of you ladies make. Barley was the cheapest stuff that the poor people could get, and it was a small, thin biscuit, hard biscuit probably, and 2 small fishes. I've heard people say more times than I can count, preacher, I don't have any talent. I can't do anything for God. Matter of fact, I just heard that a few weeks ago, a lady, a dear friend, 83, in our church. She's taught Sunday school, done a whole lot of things in the church. And she said, "Preacher, I feel so useless. I've got advanced age and there's nothing I can really do but pray. Well, if all you can do is pray for me, I'll take it." Christians don't realize what that will do and the effect that it has on the throne of God. There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. Look at what the disciples say. "But what are they among so many?" I mean, there's so many people to feed. So they didn't really believe that Jesus was Jesus. They didn't really believe that he could do what he'd been saying. And he had already performed the miracle of Canaan and turning the water into wine and some other things. But you want us to take 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and feed this huge crowd? You want us as a small independent Baptist church to do the work? I mean, I'm not qualified. I found this out. If you open your mouth, if you're willing, and let God have the glory, he'll take the little you have and make much out of it. Amen. There was a song that we used to sing at Lighthouse, that little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. When Jesus, just make your aim for heaven's shore. Look on the other side. Most of us that are over the age of 50 have more friends on the other side than we have on this side. Don't give God, God's not interested in your excuses or mine. God just wants us to say, "Lord, I don't have a lot of talent," that brother was saying just a few minutes ago about singing. "Aren't you glad I didn't sing?" Thank you. I will talk to you privately after church. But I was singing along with the song. I can sing. My wife won't sing. She said she can't carry a tune in a bucket, and I can say amen to that. She can't carry the bucket. Well, I said, "Honey, just hum. Just give God the glory and praise." So that's what she has done all these years. She doesn't have the best voice for singing. She went to college. She graduated in 1969. I met her in 1970. We got married. The rest is history. She taught school for years. She taught in the Christian school. She taught in the public schools. She worked with children all the time. And she never really felt like she was qualified. But she kept saying, "God, whatever I got, please take it and multiply it for your honor and your glory." And by the way, if you're serving the Lord for any other reason than giving him honor and glory, you're serving him for the wrong reason. Amen. Any of you all ever hear of the great B.R. Lakin, Dr. B.R. Lakin? One did, two. B.R. Lakin was the pastor in the years when they had circuit riding. He'd go to this church and get on his horse and go to the next church in the hills of West Virginia, one of the greatest men of God ever. I met him, I've heard him preach, I've talked with him. But B.R. Lakin, you know, he used to say, "Don't give God excuses, just give him you. Just give him you." But he said this: "There is no sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice in your sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice in your sacrifice, then it's not really a sacrifice. Do we offer to God that which cost us nothing?" A lot of people, a lot of you good folks, you tithe, but that's it. You used to come in and the treasurer would say, "How do I divide this up?" Somebody wrote a check for $13.50. The last time I checked, you can't get a half cent in America. You got to either a penny or more. But we bring God down on the time, we bring him down on the money. Is a real sacrifice, and I know there is for some of you. And you just have to accept my word for it. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. For Pastor Boone to have given God 25 years to the same church, that's sacrifice. For you to sit here and listen to him, that's real sacrifice. But hasn't it been good? You know something? Valley View has been, there's far more blessings than the problems you've had. You have been blessed unbelievable. Because you've been willing to work in the field and say, "God, I don't have much, but what I have, I'll give to you." So the Lord asks here, number one, where can we buy much food? Not the Lord, but where can we get that much food? Now, a pence is a penny in the days of Christ. So we've got to have at least 200 pennies or 200 days' wages to buy food for all these people. Has the Lord ever asked you to give 200 days of wages? Well, we make more than a penny a day, most of us. Of course, some of you don't. And I say this to the glory of God. I want you to hear it. I told those gossiping ladies back there I was talking to. They said they were gossips. I sat down and I thought I might get an idea for a sermon. But when churches give me money when I come to preach, and it varies. One church up in way up above Radford, I got up there to preach, and I drove 80 miles from Rocky Mountain. Went up there and preached, pouring rain up there, pouring rain on the way back. After the service, the lady who was in charge of writing the check said, "I forgot the checkbook. Give me your address, and I'll send you a check." I've heard that before. 3 months later, they sent a check. I sent it back to them. I said, "You folks need this worse than I do." But in 2015, my wife and I started praying, and we felt impressed of God. For example, you folks gave me a good check today, and I really do appreciate it. I want you to know that I do a lot of teasing, but I appreciate the check. But what I'll do is take my tithe and offering out of it, my gas money it cost me to come over here and go back, and the rest of it goes in a little kitty. And then God comes along and says, "You know that Marine, he don't know no better? He needs some help." Now, don't line up after church telling me you need help. That has to come from God, okay? But that's what we do with the money. And the needy fund that we started 6 years ago has never run dry. I might get 100, I might get 500. I like going to Mike Vest. Mike Vest, every time, just about every time I go up there and preach, if I stay all day, it's $1,000. $1,000. Nobody's worth that much money, including me. Who said that? You people don't always, you don't know when to say amen and when to shut up. It's good that you can laugh. But how are we going to feed all these people? We can and we do often find that we limit God by assuming what is and is not possible with God. Jesus said, "Nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. Whatever it is that you want to do tonight, if it's sincerely for the honor and the glory of God and not yourself, you and I are just the mouthpieces, God will take the little that you offer and he'll feed the 5,000. He'll feed the 15,000. Later on, he feeds 4,000 more men besides women and children. So nothing is impossible. It seems like we assume the impossible task that God probably can't do this. My wife and I, at our ages, we've asked God, "Let us live long enough to pay all our debts." We don't have a lot, but let us live long enough to pay all of our debts. My daughter was with us. She lives in Michigan. I have three beautiful grandchildren. By the way, Julie and Mikey, where are you? Back there in the back. You told me you were going to be a grandmother. You know what I found? The first time I heard the word grandmother out of my granddaughter was the sweetest words. "Grandpa!" And the first thing that two-year-old asked me for was $5. Now, I got three granddaughters, but my daughter came down, and I've told her before. When Nanny and I bought our house 6 years ago, we bought a home on Southwest Roanoke, and she said, "Dad," I said, "Yes, sweetheart." She said, "Do I get the house when you die?" "Nope." "What do you mean, no?" I said, "You didn't buy it. All the money, all the vehicles, any cash is left, all that's to be divided up between you and a niece that we have. You do whatever you want." She said, "Well, what are you going to do with the house?" "We are going to have our executor sell that house and take whatever the profit is and put it back into the missions program at Clearbrook Baptist Church. We want the money that God has given us to keep working after we're long gone. And I don't think there's anything more worthy than missions." So we have to understand it's not ours. We said, "Lord, if you give it, this is what we'll do." And we're going to hold and honor God to that our promise to God. We're going to do what God has told us. Then God can and God will do miracles if we trust him to provide. I don't have the time tonight because I promised a KISS sermon. But in those early years when we were in Rocky Mountain, we didn't know anybody. I was 27. Nan was 30. We didn't know a soul. We put everything on the back of a U-Haul truck. Left Front Royal, Virginia. That's outside of Warrenton. And went to Rocky Mountain, Virginia. Rented a storefront building for $400 and didn't have a dime. And we said, "Okay, Lord, We rented the buildings up to you to pay. Did you know as long as we stayed in that building, God provided? We went to another church and said, we don't use these pews anymore. Preacher Andrews, you can have them. We went to somebody else who had a piano. They put it in storage and never paid the charge. And I said, Lord, can we have that piano? And God bought the money in. We bought the piano out of storage. But we didn't have anything. And God provided all along the way. We started with two people, Nan and I. When we left all those years ago, there was about 160 or 70 people. And I say, glory be to God.
Amen.
When you drive to Rocky Mountain, look up Lighthouse Baptist Church. That's not Bob Andrews' legacy. That's God's legacy. Because we said, Lord, we're willing to go. And here's the thing. We got so much encouragement when we left our home church. Our home church was only over 500 people. And nobody believed in us except my wife's mother, a godly woman, and my grandmother. And they said, are you really serious about this? And I said, yes, ma'am. They said, then you'll make it. And for 30 years, we stayed and plowed the field and took the little we had and watched God just go. When we had that anniversary party, I counted over 40 people who came from Franklin County that we had either led to the Lord or influenced that are still in church. That's what Paul says, that you're my joy. When the pastor stands here and sees people that he's influenced and people that have been won to the Lord in his ministry, that are still in church, still serving God, that's the joy. Paul said, you're my joy. You're my children in the Lord. And that's what's important tonight, is that God can and God will do the miracles if you let him. Appreciate your pastor, and I know that most of you do. We do a little kidding and teasing. But he is a good pastor. But I tell you what, he's a man sent from God, and he's by no means perfect. And he carries all of your burdens and all of your problems and all the situations. And did you know when you're complaining, you can't praise God? I think I said that this morning. You can't praise the Lord when you're grumbling. So love your pastor, but love God, because your God, my God, has done far more for us than we can ever imagine. So God can take the little that we have and turn it into something great if we're willing to step back and say, all right, God, it's up to you. And when it's been done and God does great things, you don't take any credit for it. These gentlemen that are sitting here tonight, I met one of them that were chartered members of this church all those years ago. When they look around and see what has happened, they can't take the credit. They just did what God told them to do. So at the Valley View Baptist Church. And look what God has done over the years. I shared with you this morning that people have lost their joy, and I really do believe they've lost being excited about the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 4, we won't turn to it, but you can put it down. It's easy to get discouraged about unpleasant circumstances. When I first joined Clearbrook 6 years ago, there was a guy that stood at the back. And my oldest brother, who was also a pastor, he's with the Lord now, he said this to me 30 years ago. He said, you know, Bob, he said, some of the nicest people you ever meet are Christians. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
And then he made this statement. He said, some of the meanest Christians you ever meet. Meanest people are Christians. And I was taken back. And then I met a few of them. Now, I don't pray like my wife. My wife used to see me hurt and discouraged and down and knocked down and stomped down and you name it. And she would go to God. I'd get up at night and she wouldn't be beside me. I'd go looking for her. And she'd be out in her prayer room and she'd be on her knees and she'd say, God, we can't take no more of this. They're your children. If they're not willing to get right, just kill them. That's a pretty rough prayer. Just kill them. I'm glad God didn't listen to it. Because if he had, he might have cleaned out some of the church. But this man is just overbearing. And I just said, Lord, I can't handle this man after all these years. You just helped me to be pleasant to him. So I advised him, you stay on your side of the fence, I'll stay on mine. We'll greet each other, but be kind. And that's it. I wanted to be good, close friends with him. Have you ever met a Christian at Valley View that knew it all besides Stanley? Or Julie? I picked those two because I know them. They can't hit me too hard. You ever know somebody just knew it all? Forget the pastor. They just knew everything. And God will not work in a church that's constantly bickering and fussing and fighting.
Amen.
He won't do it.
Amen.
I mean, that's not going to bring honor and glory to God. And I guarantee you, the people outside in this community, they know a whole lot more about this church than you do, because some of you gone out and told them. You just wouldn't believe what he preached last Sunday. You just wouldn't believe how he acted. Love your pastor, but love your God more. Give God the credit for what you have and for what God is doing. So unpleasant circumstances, well, I'd just rather not be around them. And I've been that way too. I just assume not be around that person. But God lets me be around that person so I can learn how to handle that person and be a better Christian for God. How many of you have wanted to say something but you bit your tongue in church? Man, I'd just like to give them a piece of my mind. You know what I used to tell people? Most of us can't afford to give any of it away.
Amen.
Most of us cannot afford to give our peace of mind to somebody. And the best thing is just to be silent. Well, ain't nobody going to walk all over me. They walked all over Jesus. You know what he said? When he was reviled, he didn't turn the tables. What did he say? When they smite you on one cheek, turn the other. And that ain't easy to do. There was years ago a man in a parking lot. We had to ask him to leave the church. I mean, a major source of problem. He wasn't willing to get right. He wasn't let us through. So he just needed to leave. So we wrote a letter. And I saw him on the store parking lot, and I said, here, this is for you. He said that. I said, that's a letter voting you out of the church. We're only going to do it one time. The man took his jacket off. Couldn't have been much bigger than this young boy. And he said, I'm going to beat the living fire out of you. I said, no, you're not. He said, why? I said, I'm running. Well, I knew you was chicken. Wouldn't that have been something, a deacon and a preacher out in the parking lot fighting publicly? I'll never raise my hand to a single man. I've seen people killed. I've killed people in war. But I promise God, unless somebody is hurting my wife, you want to knock my door down and take what I got, don't knock the door down. I'll unlock it and you come on in and take what you want. But I'm not going to fight a man. I'm not going to take a person's life. I've seen men die without God. I've held men in my arms overseas, black men, good friends, good buddies, that died in my arms and watched the life go out of them and know that I never told that man about Jesus. And I got to live with that. And so do you. People have passed you away, maybe not dying, but God spoke to your heart about dealing with that person, and you said, it's impossible. I'm not educated enough to do that. God is a lot when there's a little bit to be done. And then in John 12, well, Philemon 1:7, Paul reflects on Philemon's kindness, his love, and his comfort. When we are like that lad and we say, Lord, it's not much. You know, the scripture doesn't say it, but I believe it. I often wondered when I read the last part of that verse that they took up 12 baskets full of crumbs. I believe God gave it to the lad. Can you imagine what his mama said when he got home with all that food? And he told his mama, probably, you won't believe what this man called Jesus did. He took the 5 little loaves and the 2 little fishes, and he fed about 15,000 people, and I got what was left over. I really believe that's what happened. Encourage somebody tonight. Look around and look at somebody that's been beaten down or discouraged or weary and worn, and just say, hey, I'm here for you. I support you. I pray for you. I lift you up. I hold you up to God in prayer. I told a couple this morning, I mean, every time God brings them to our mind, we mention them to God in prayer. Little as much when God is in it. And then finally, John says, who is this Son of Man? A lot of us try to force the Lamb of God into a certain mold. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is an independent fundamental Baptist? None of you knew that? Maybe he's Presbyterian. Maybe he's Episcopal. Maybe he's black. Maybe he's white. Jesus is what you want him to be. Your God and your Savior. That's why I don't believe in religion. It's something one man gives to another. But I do believe in the Lamb of God. Who is this Son of God? Have you asked that question, or is there people in your community and your family that says, prove to me that there's God? Every time somebody says that to me, I just turn it around and say, prove to me that there's not a God. Thank you, Miss Julie. I'll dance at your wedding or your funeral, whichever comes first. Prove to me there's no God. I look into the stars at night and there's a God. Coming over here today, when I left Roanoke, it was 95 degrees. You know what I was praying? Lord, please give us some rain. Now, you think it's dry here, come to Roanoke. Bone dry. And I believe this. God's going to give us rain when he wants to give us rain. Now, I don't like summertime. I don't like the heat. I'll take the cold any day. But I'm believing that when I get back to Roanoke, or shortly thereafter, God's going to give us rain. What if he gives us rain on the way? I'll pull over and praise the Lord. Who is this Son of God? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Who is he? The Bible says he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just a little short message of a little boy that said, Lord, I ain't got much, but what I got you can have. I don't have an education, but I'll serve you. I don't work the best job, but I'll give. I may not be a chartered member of this church, but I'll serve you. Whatever the pastor asks me to do. Matter of fact, if you want to give him a heart attack when he gets back, go up to him and say, what can I do? Is there anything that needs to be done? I do that with Pastor Byron all the time. Every Sunday night when I go out, is there anybody that needs to be visited? Any nursing homes where there's folks that I need to go see? How can I help you this week, preacher? Just because I'm no longer pastor doesn't mean I can sit down and do nothing. And so if you're here tonight, ask the Lord, the little that I have, Lord, I give it to you. You take it and you use it. I enjoyed listening to the brother this morning, how he was explaining some of the things about the Lord and the disciples. I paid attention. I took notes. I got a couple of sermon ideas. If I didn't get nothing else, I got some ideas. Then I'm going to go home and work on them. Then I'm going to come back and preach it on the 15th of August. And if it don't go good, we're going to blame him. No, not really. Little as much when God is in it. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you again the question that B.R. Lakin said. He said, if there's no sacrifice in your sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice. So what you are offering to God tonight, does it cost you nothing? Does it cost you anything to serve the Lord and to be a Christian? It will cost you. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for Clearbrook. We are grateful, Lord, for the direction you led Nan and I years ago to supply the pulpit. I can be here tonight. The pastor knows, Lord, that I will preach the word. And, Lord, he can go and be with his family. Years ago, Lord, you led him in this direction. And he hasn't seen the reunions and the Christmas parties and all the things that he and Sherry have missed over the years. But what a glad reunion day that will be when we cross the other side. Help each believer here tonight not, Lord, to say, I don't have anything, but, Lord, take what I got and use it. Help that one that may be here without you, Lord, deal with their heart. Open their mind and their hearts and their ears spiritually that they might see who the Son of God is, and seeing they might believe. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bobby. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 97. Let's stand together. I need thee every hour.